So today is part two of God Is series that we've started, and it's a four-part series, and I get the honour of speaking to you on what is God Is on part two. Last week, Pastor Lee spoke. If you didn't get the opportunity to hear that, please go online and listen to his incredible word on the fact that God is. You know, we live in a world that's full of constant change. Just in the last few weeks, we know that we've had changes in fuel prices. There's changes in housing prices, changes in seasons and nature. You know, as we get older, we experience changes with our likes and our dislikes. And I know that I can say there's been a change in my patience levels as I've got older. With our family lives, changes with people coming in and out of our families, moving in and out of home. We know that there is changes in fashion. There are changes in trends. And there is evolving sayings according to what the latest TikTok person is telling us. And for some of us, it's like, oh, I just don't get what's going on. It's hard to keep up. Who remembers the time, that, like at the moment, where there was a change in the word Sigma? Sigma, to me, was a car. And that shows you that I'm 22. But then it became, you're so cool, you're Sigma. And it's like, what? And the latest saying, 6'7", 6'7", it's like, what does that even mean? And I don't know, and I can't even give you an explanation or a clarification about that. All I know is that working with children has kept me up to date with some of these crazy sayings that keep changing. And you might be sitting there going, I don't understand a word of what you're saying. But that's okay, because I think we can all agree that we live in a world that is constantly changing. Some changes are definitely beneficial and benefit our lives. Some changes aren't so much, and they may leave us feeling a bit confused. And some people thrive in change, whereas others really struggle with it. Who here would say that they thrive in change? I see that one hand. Who here struggles with change? But then, of course, it does come down to sometimes what that change is. And while so much of our world is changing, there is one thing we can absolutely count on, trust, and what we can anchor our lives to, and that God does not change. God is unchanging. Upon hearing that statement, that God does not change, what do you think it means? Does it mean that he's stable? Does it mean that he's immovable? Does it mean that he's reliable or inflexible? Is it just his actions, or is it just his character? What is it about God that makes him unchanging? How can we be assured that God is unchanging, especially when everything around us does? You know, the dictionary defines unchanging as remaining the same. But the Bible goes deeper. The Word of God reveals that God is immutable, meaning he cannot change. This truth is central to us for understanding who he is and how he relates to creation and each one of us. And this isn't just theological, this is personal. Because God does not change, we can have full confidence that he is faithful, he is trustworthy, he is good, he is reliable, and he is consistent in every season of our lives. So what are some thoughts around this from scholars of the past? I'm not sure if you've heard of A.W. Tozer, but he was an influential pastor, and he said this in his book, Knowledge of the Holy. The immutability of God appears in its most perfect beauty when viewed against the mutability of God. And I've really practiced saying those words, so I apologize if I do stumble over them. In God, no change is possible. In man, change is impossible to escape. Charles Spurgeon, who was another influential pastor, said this in his sermon, The Immutability of God. But God is perpetually the same. He is not composed of any substance or material, but is spirit. Pure, essential, and ethereal spirit, and therefore he is immutable. He remains everlastingly the same. There are no furrows on his eternal brow. No age hath paused him. No years have marked him with the mementos of their flight. He sees ages pass, but with him it is ever now. He is the great I am, the great unchangeable. And this isn't just something that we can say, these are what theologians have said or experienced. You know, Scripture itself consistently reveals this truth. In Malachi 3:6, it says this, For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So what does that mean for us today? He is and will always be faithful, good and true. He is faithful to the promises he makes. He doesn't change his character, his plan, or his mind. We, however, do change. We can either choose to move towards him and the promises and plans he has for our lives, or we can move away. And the reality is that when God makes a promise, He makes it knowing full well what will happen up ahead. He's never caught off guard or taken by surprise. And the good news is, even though he knows what is going to happen up ahead, it doesn't stop him from revealing his purposes and plans for our lives. That is the great God that we serve. It's not who he is. Therefore, we can trust his word and his promises that they will remain the same. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the heart of immutability. God does not change. If the Bible is truly the inspired word of God, and therefore our authority, it wouldn't be trustworthy if God's character were to shift or prove unreliable. But Scripture consistently affirms that God's character is unchanging, giving us confidence in everything he says and does. Revelation 1:8, Pastor Lee touched on this last week. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. This truth will never change. But here's where it can get a little bit confusing, just to throw a bit of a spanner in the works. But sometimes when you read Scripture, it can leave you scratching your head thinking, I don't quite get that. Because sometimes it can appear like maybe God has changed his mind. So how do you and I approach this? Is there something that we need to shift in our thinking to understand what God is revealing to us? Last week, Pastor Lee encouraged us to turn to wonder because God was wanting to reveal himself to us. And today I want to encourage you to keep turning to wonder. God wants us to have continual revelation of who he is and for us to grow in our understanding of him, so that we don't change in the truth that we can trust him and he is good. When things happen, and they will, when change occurs, that we aren't rocked, but we are steadfast in our relationship with God and who he is, that he loves us and he is faithful and he can be trusted. He wants us to have that posture of trust and rest in who he is. So how do we understand that? Let's look at an example in 1 Samuel 15. here is a quick summary of that passage. Saul is king at the time. In fact, he was the first king of the nation of Israel. And he was told to follow God's instructions, and that's how he would lead the people. But we come to this point where Samuel the prophet comes to him and says, here are the instructions from God on how to defeat the Amalekites. And Saul at this time decided that, you know, I actually think I know better. So he only partially followed God's instructions. And when Samuel came to talk to him about that, he lied about it because he knew he had done the wrong thing. And because of this disobedience, God rejects Saul as king. And this is what God says to Samuel in 1 Samuel 15:11. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. At first glance, this could appear like God has changed his mind. But then later in that same chapter, in 1 Samuel 15:28, this is what Samuel says about God. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. For he is not a human being, praise the Lord, that he should change his mind. How did Samuel come to this point in his life to be able to say that with such conviction, boldness, and courage, and confidence that God does not change his mind? What an amazing experience and revelation. And that is the same revelation he is offering you today, for you to be able to walk out of this place with your head held high, confidence in your heart, and unshakability in your spirit that God will never change. And his promises are yes and amen. So let's look at who's involved in this story so that we can make a connection between these two verses. Firstly, there is God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, and his plans don't change based on the weather, based on how he's feeling, the situation around him, or new information. He is constant and unchanging. But then there's Saul, who is human, who is limited, who is fallible, and he's not all-knowing. And he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God doesn't change, did something else change in 1 Samuel 15? Yes, Saul did. He sinned by not following God's instructions, and they were clear. God's character, his nature, and his purposes remained the same, but Saul chose disobedience. God, because of his relationship with us, responds to that change. Not because he is changing, but because we do. Let's be clear. God didn't think, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. I have to go to plan B. There is human involvement here, and it's called choice. But God expressed his regret over Saul choosing to go his own way. But let me tell you, that did not change God's love for Saul. And it would have never changed. What a solid thing we can have in our lives. We will change. Let's be honest, it's going to happen. But God will never change in his love for us and that desire to have relationship with us, because it's not who he is. So what is God showing us? What is he revealing to us? How does God, who is infinite and all-powerful, communicate with us, his creation, in a way that we can understand? He speaks in human terms so that we can grasp what it is that he is saying. So that when Scripture says that God regretted making Saul king, it doesn't mean God made a mistake or changed his mind. It means something he created has changed, and he is expressing his grief and displeasure in a way that you and I can understand. God uses language so we can understand the weight of what is happening. If God truly does not change, if he is constant in his character and his nature and his purposes, then that has powerful implications of how you and I live today. The good news is we can change to be more like him. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and he will not fulfill it? So what does that show us? Because God doesn't change, we can trust that he will always be faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. This is huge. Even when we make mistakes, even in our doubt, even when we are unfaithful, God will always remain faithful to us. Faithful is who he is. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his word, and faithful in his love for us, just to name a few. It's not an excuse for us to do our own thing, but we can trust in him and his faithfulness. He was faithful then, he is faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow and forever. And not only that, because God doesn't change, we can trust that he is always good. Psalm 119:68, I think that says, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. It's not a choice for him. It's not hard. He doesn't stress about it. He doesn't say, oh, when I wake up in the morning before I start this day and open my eyes and have my morning coffee, I will be good. He's just good all the time. It's who he is. He was good then. He is good today and he will be good forever. God is good in his very being. He's eternally and unchangeably good. He's good in his acts of grace, and God is good in all his plans and purposes for our lives. When circumstances come our way that have the potential to rock our families, our relationships, our jobs, maybe our studies, our health, or even our stance on God, what does the word of God encourage us to do? In Psalm 34, verse 5, it says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. This is an ongoing invitation for us to experience daily that God is good. We can trust in him and experience the joy of the Lord in all our circumstances. You know, you and I eat daily, praise the Lord. There's some really good food out there. And we experience goodness when we eat food. And we can experience that God daily is good. We can choose to respond to God and his goodness. You know, and I know from my own life, I've experienced the goodness of God. And it is just a foundation, a rock, if you like to call it, in my life that I know that God is good. You know, there have been times where I've been rocked. There have been times where I've had questions. There have been times when I've been angry. And there have been times where I've been confused and I've said, God, what is going on? But I've always come back to the fact, the truth that will never change, that God is good. You know, years ago, I felt God speak to me about someone for getting married because obviously that was a desire of my heart. And so I began to spend time praying about this. And then one of my friends in Adelaide, she, you know, independently of me, also had that same thought about this person. So we began praying. And, you know, it was a bit of a journey. And so there was times where we were like, oh, should we keep praying? And then there was one point where God just brought us together. And I thought, oh, this is going to be it. This is where we're going to hopefully get together. But you know what? He decided that, yep, no, I'm not going to have any of this. And I'm not saying that, you know, because there's something wrong with me, but he chose not to follow God's plan and purposes at that point of time for his life. And that's okay. That's his choice because God gives us choice. But it did lead me down a path of feeling like I was in the wilderness for a period of time, not because of my own doing. I trusted God. I believed this was his plan and purpose for my life. But someone else who had choice decided, no, I'm not having anything to do with this. Did that stop God from loving me? Did that stop God's purposes and plans for my life? Did God think, oh no, I've got to go to plan B for Rachel? Not at all, because it's not who he is. And I could stand in my wilderness experience and say, you know what? God, you are good. In the fact that someone didn't want me, God, you were good. The fact that, you know what, your plan is still the same for my life, God, you're good. And yes, I had to wait for a period of time, but eventually I did meet someone. And thank goodness he said yes. Not that I asked him to marry me, he did that. And we got together and we're now married, and I'm so blessed for that. I'm so blessed that God's plans came to pass in my life. I'm so glad that Murray wasn't plan B. I'm so glad that God is good. I'm so glad that God is faithful in everything that he says and does and has for our lives. Yes, we have choice. Let's choose to move towards all that he has for our hearts and our lives and for our families in this place. God is good. I will never, ever be rocked from that foundation in my life that God is good. And if you feel that you struggle with that, I am happy to stand and pray with you, because it is the truth. It's who God is. And if I can just ask for the worship team to come up. And even more than that, because God doesn't change, we can trust in his power and authority in our lives. Psalm 147 verse 5 says this: Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. In a world that is constantly changing, he is constant. He is faithful. He is good. He is all powerful. And because of that, we can live in confidence and we can rest in who he is, and we can trust him no matter what changes may come our way. God is our everything. So what is the posture God wants us to assume? He wants us to have a posture of trust and rest in who he is. I want to encourage you to keep turning to wonder. God wants us to have continual revelation of who he is and for us to grow in our understanding. Revelations 1:8 says this: I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. And just before we sing this song, I just actually would like everyone, if they would be happy, to stand. And this is what I felt the Holy Spirit say for this morning. Today, if you've been saying to yourself, I really need to change. In fact, I've been trying to change, and I feel like I may take two steps forward, but then it's like I get stuck and I go back to that thing that I don't want to go back to, the thing that I'm trying to change from. In fact, as I have been speaking, you've been having this conversation with yourself. I've been wanting to change, and I feel like I take a few steps, but then something happens and I feel like it just doesn't seem to stick. And then I feel like I just go back to that same spot, in that same relationship, in that same predicament, in that same pressure, in that same sickness or disappointment or loneliness and hardship. But I'm here to tell you today, the power of Holy Spirit is here to bring change, because it's who he is. And if you've been saying, Lord, there is something I just know I need to change in. There is something that I know that you have been speaking to me, that you have been just whispering into my heart. And I feel like I keep getting stuck. I feel like I can't seem to move forward. Or if I do, I feel like I come back again to that same spot. Today, God is here to meet you, to bring change, to bring breakthrough, to bring healing, and to bring restoration. And as we sing this worship song, I would love for you to come out to the front, because I know breakthrough is here, I know God is here, and I know His presence is here to bring change into your heart and your life.
You know, if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, and by knowing Him personally, I mean that you haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. If you haven't acknowledged that God sent Him to the cross, to the grave, and He rose again on the third day so that your sin could be forgiven, so that you could be known by God, known as a son, a daughter of the Most High God. That's why He sent Jesus, for you, for every single person on the earth. If you haven't had the opportunity to do that, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. But first, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond, to say, yeah, that's me. I want to know God. I want to be known. I want to be forgiven. I want to be set free. And so if that's you this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, and you can put it back down as soon as you've done that. And you're saying to God, God, I'm responding to Jesus. I'm responding to make Him Lord of my life. If that's you this morning, on the count of three, one, two, three. Put your hand up. If that's you, yep, thank you. Anyone else this morning? See, I need to give my life to Jesus. Anyone else say, yeah, I got to do it today. Lord Jesus. This is what we're going to do this morning. If you put your hand up or you really, really wanted to, we're going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of inviting Jesus into our heart, where He resides with us always. It's a moment of coming before God and say, I've sinned, but I accept Jesus. I know that He's taken my sin on the cross. And so I'm going to follow Jesus today. If that's you, why don't you pray this prayer with, as the whole church joins us today. Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, I thank You that You sent Jesus, that He went to the cross, the grave, and rose again for the forgiveness of my sin. From this day, I choose to follow Him. I repent of my sin. For all the days of my life, I will follow Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.